that guy if they're spinning it. Good evening, everyone. Good evening. Welcome, welcome to Radiance by Design. Last week, I don't know if it was your radiance or mine, but we kept blowing out the radio station. I hope we're not going to do that again. My name is Veronica Entwistle, and if you like, you can send me questions because this is a call-in show. Some of you don't want to call, so you can send me emails asking questions about your life and how to shift it energetically. And sometimes it means just shifting a focus. I don't know if I talked about it, but anyway, you and I, last week, I can't remember what I talked about last week, so you could say, why didn't you prepare in advance? And I'll say, well, because I didn't know that. And what I'm really interested in talking about is something that I'm doing with my clients, and it's really helpful because we want to ascend, right? We want to move out of the collective, and the collective is dominated at this time with old thoughts and feelings, 8,000 years in the patriarchy, and who knows what other issues of control. And I always quote people like Peter Calhoun from my show, Paradigm Shifters, and he talks about how, say, the elite creates this bondage and keeps us all stoop-shouldered underneath this umbrella that they want to keep us in charge. They want to be in charge of how we are. But as he said, something that you believe and I believe, that with the right kind of focus, the right kind of intention, we can move out of the disempowerment and we can radiate at higher levels. We can create with intentions and visualizations and total release. I think my guides are really big on releasing is probably the most important aspect. Release, 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 release. So you can intend all over the place and get bankrupted as you go. And it's a very interesting concept, isn't it? Anyway, we're going to talk tonight. I want to tell you about, well, you already know this. We do this collective or gathered meditation. And we do that because I really believe in if we can establish or if we can set up on a regular basis, and that might mean you have to do it every hour, I don't know. If we can set up a coherent field of a higher frequency energy, we can have a huge impact on our households, on our neighborhood, on our cities, on our countries. We can say, oh my goodness, listen to the news, it's dreadful. Most of us have learned to turn it off quite regularly. But when we do radiate from a higher level, when you do call in the higher and go, instead of getting your vibrational set by the television news, Fox News maybe, huh? Heaven forbid, but in any case, instead of setting your resonance according to what's radiating out of the television, and if you want to test this, those of you who are a little new at this, all you have to do is sit by a television set or even a radio when people are talking and just feel the fluctuating or bumping around of the energy fields that come off it. The other day I was listening to NPR and they were having a really interesting discussion. I think it was about Obama's State of the Union address. And it was so funny because a couple of men that were on, I started yawning like mad and I felt very compressed. And I went, wow, it was so incredibly vivid that I put on my magic little television set so I could, with the sound, good sound system, so I could present this to you all. However, I don't know if you received my visualization, did you? Anyway, when we have those kinds of impacts, which we all do all the time, coming at us regularly, it's very hard, unless you pay attention, unless you stay awake, it's very hard to consciously lift and raise your fields and frequency. When we talk about coherency through meditation, it's when collectively we all share an intention and a style of moving our energy field so that it radiates out there and everything in its wake, if that's the right word, everything in its way becomes lighter and freer and I think bottom line, more flexible, more capable of moving and expanding and becoming instead of just being a fixed picture. So when you're really, really, really frustrated about the news and you don't even have anybody else to meditate with, just get going and draw in your higher self, your guides and angels, Mother, Father, God. Relate to your divinity within, the divine you within, and just keep ratcheting up so that you're at a higher and higher frequency level. You'll know what I mean. Don't take the, and I already said this, but don't set your resonance according to what's on the lateral page, meaning the news media or depressed persons or argumentative people or whatever. That's not all wrong stuff. It's just don't let it set your resonance. And how you can bypass that is to go inside yourself again. And as I've already said, call in your higher. Ask your guides and angels, say, I need to go up into a much higher resonance, and I want to feel those amazing downloads that are coming from the great central sun and beyond. I don't know how many of you do oneness blessings or have gotten involved in the oneness blessings movement. I found it very, very, very amazing. But in any case, I was just listening to an old interview with Michael Klingerman, and he was talking about how Bhagavan said that the downloads, which I always feel the downloads, a lot of you do, I'm sure, we feel the downloads of fields and frequency. And he said that a lot of them are coming, the Christing or super creator consciousness is being downloaded because apparently in our universes, we've moved up or arced up. I always see them kind of in waves, swashbuckling around out there, the galaxies and so on. Anyway, he says that they've come into a central core, which is access to higher, the highest God frequencies, God consciousness, and it's being pumped through us. It's coming down. It's not being pumped. Somebody's out there pumping like in the old water days. It's just that you and I are receiving some very odd and very sort of spontaneous energy blasts. They're coming from higher directions, to just put it simply. But some of them are just stunning. And we can feel, you know, I don't know how you feel, but sometimes, and I can tell how some of you feel, sometimes you feel like you're doing just fine, and all of a sudden, you're off center, you're off kilter, and you're being bopped around, and you can't figure out why. And it's like the energy fields that are coming from perhaps laterally, right, from people's distress or the news media or what, is meeting, intersecting maybe in you or around you with some higher fields that are coming through. And you can imagine the disturbance in energy that happens when that goes on. And yet I'll tell you what, in my world as an energy counselor, I really count on the fact that we have access to some of the most amazing high-frequency energies, and those, like acupuncture, can actually blast out some of our stuck organs, some of our stuck thinking, some of our stuck political stuff, some of our stuck reality. And what you want to do is reach up with your intention and your mind and your heart, and call it in, and swish it through your own body. Call it in. Say, I want to really feel. I want to feel the absolute ability for me to radiate at a higher level because of these tremendous downloads. You'll love it. Trust me. So we're going to share a meditation. And if you'd like to, you can send me an email, veronica@veronicaentwistle.com. Entwistle is E-N-T-W-I-S-T-L-E. Veronica@veronicaentwistle.com, and I will answer your question, but it'll be after the meditation. Or if you have a special need to go into the healing chamber, send me a message for it right now. I know that Carol's knees are in terrible pain today, so we're going to work on the knees. I also would like to work on some of the programming, the archetypal programming that you have and I have and we all have. Because one of the things about becoming free to evolve to be multidimensional, to becoming free, it's about releasing ourselves. I already said that, right? You already knew that. But releasing ourselves from some of the patterns that we've been programmed by, maybe for centuries and centuries, who knows? And releasing the archetypes is a very, very helpful thing to do. And we're now going to do our collective meditation. So are you ready? And I want you to take a couple of deep breaths. I have quite a cold, and I've been struggling with the flu, but I think I've done it pretty well. But I just want to warn you that I'm taking this wonderful Gaia herbal thing with plantain in it and so on, which helps clear out the congestion in the chest. So if I get into a coughing fit, I'll say, A, it's bad timing, and B, I'm getting better, I'm getting healed, and that's why that coughing comes up. So don't worry about me, and I won't worry about you. Together, we're just going to expand and grow. Are you ready? I already started it, but I'll start it again. Let's call in the presence. Let's call in those greater fields that we heard about, those wonderful frequencies that Bhagavan talks about. Way out there, unprecedented. Good. And now, above your head, about 2 miles, create a golden ball. And below your spine, about 40 feet, another golden ball. Good. And now drop a filament of light from the upper golden ball through your spine into the lower golden ball. You can feel it warming your spine, can't you? And from the upper golden ball to about waist height, a four-sided gold pyramid. And upside down, pointing into the lower golden ball, another four-sided gold pyramid. And when the two meet, you've got yourself an eight-sided structure. We'll call it an octahedron. Okay. And now inside of that, create a crystal ball. And it's shimmering. It has all the colors of the rainbow. Good. And inside of that, there's a star tetrahedron. It's like a three-dimensional Star of David. That's not a totally accurate depiction, but it'll work. It's like a three-dimensional Star of David. Or for those of you who understand this, you can call it the Merkaba or the Merkaba. Good. And inside of that, there you are. And remember this part, whilst we go through, we're going to start spinning and spinning and spinning, and as you spin and spin and spin and spin, you're going to see in front of you a movie screen, a beautiful, beautiful, magical screen. Now, don't forget to call in the higher frequencies again periodically when your focus drifts to way below your eyebrows. Call in those higher frequencies and give yourself a little hit. Now, the first movie we're going to create on our magical screen is a movie of you becoming who you want to become. Now we say the same thing, consciously multidimensional, being able to see in all the different dimensions simultaneously if I want. Yeah. And what we do is we see all the help that's necessary for us to achieve whatever it is we're trying to achieve. And when we get to that point, wrap it in light. When you can see your little movie of you becoming whatever it is you want to become, wrap it in light and move it over to the side. We always use gold because gold, white light protects you from other things, but we don't want to be just protected. We want to have this vital and dynamic generating light, which is how I understand the gold light. Love, harmony, wisdom. Okay, now the second screen is you creating something you want to create. Good. Now I want you to see all the pieces coming together for you. All the support you need, the resources, the time, the inspiration, the people, everything you need is going to flow to you so that you can create the dream of your life. That's it. Uh-huh. There you go. Now you see all those pieces coming together, and there's your project. What is it you're wanting to create? Is it home and family? Is it a book? Is it a movie? Is it a travel around the world? That doesn't matter. There you go. See all the pieces coming together. And see yourself establishing, oh, I succeeded. Isn't it wonderful? See yourself enjoying it and feeling so pleased and enthusiastic. And then we bring in the resources, all kinds of resources again to sustain your project so that project can carry on as long as its natural life would like. Good. Now wrap that in light. And now we're going to move it over to the side. And then we're going to open the Galactic Healing Center. We're going to call in a group of beings. You have a lot of beings around you. We all do. Some of us are much more able to associate with them consciously than others, but we all have them. So I want you to ask in your higher guidance, ask that your higher healing team stand around the table in our magical Galactic Healing Center. And these beings of light and truth are going to stand around the table and create healing. The first person is you. So you lie on that table, and they're going to work on you. And you can ask them for the kind of help you want. That's right. Or you can ask them what kind of help you need. Good. I'm doing it too. I'm getting some very interesting information. You know, what I asked for is release from certain heartbreaking attachments that I've struggled with my whole life. And sometimes I'm really good with all that, and then all of a sudden they resurge. So I'm asking, and as soon as I asked that, they were pulling out of my belly area, the second chakra, which houses karma, subconscious, leftover even foods, right? They're just pulling all that out, and the back of my neck, the back of my head. I'm going, gosh, that's great. We know that those are areas in which letting go of connections or facing your own karma. There we go. And they're moving it and moving it. What's going on in your body? Are you getting the help you want? Let's wrap that in light. Move it over to the side. Now remember, the team will continue to work on you over there on the side. However, they're very magical. They can replicate themselves, so we now have a fresh table and a fresh group, probably the same ones. It doesn't matter. They'll come in by choice and by magic. Now I'm going to put Carol on. Carol has really painful knees. Carol has chronic pain, and sometimes it's almost insurmountable in her tolerance level. It's really a lot to be doing that for years and years. Anyway, so she said, please take me and put me on the table. Good. And she's on the table. And you know what I'm seeing here? The teams are working. And we're asking also that the teams working on Carol call in their own teams. Each of them has teams of beings of different consciousness as well. And so does Carol. So we're asking for the reams and reams, reams of teams. I ought to be a poet, huh? Yeah. And they're standing around her and emanating great light and helping her understand. Okay, so one of the things they're saying is that you take on, in karmic stuff, you take on patterns. You take on reactions that are then unexpressed. Perhaps you died in the middle of taking it on. It doesn't matter. But the thing about karma, I don't know everything about karma. I probably know a thumbnail about karma. But in any case, I understand it is leftover patterns that come sometimes swing through our lives and, you know, really block some of the things we're trying to achieve and accomplish, even if the kinds of things that we're trying to achieve and accomplish are for the greater good. And you get these weird karmic things, entrails of past existences where suddenly friends turn into enemies or suddenly everybody you know walks away from you. It's a lot of very interesting ways that karma comes up. So it's like inexplicable responses. And I'm watching this happen around Carol, inexplicable responses. Good. And they're showing that right down deep in her Okay. something about her knees and also connecting to her stomach. The knees are connected to the stomach and this energy thing. I don't mean the belly, I mean the stomach. Solar plexus. And they're pulling energy out of that. And then it's also pulling energy out of her heart chakra. My own heart chakra feels really painful right now, so I will pay attention, read that, and then move it out of my body. Good. And because Carol's knee problems or the knee aching have a lot to do with this, what's going on from her history to her ability to love right now. And she's very afraid of being vulnerable. She's afraid. Carol, I hope you can hear this. What's the value of knowing what the feeling is? I can say, Carol, you're afraid. You could say, thank you, you're planting that in my brain. And I want to say no, because if we can bring up, that's not what I intend to do, what we bring up that's real feeling, you can bring it up and hand it to your guides and angels. Don't leave it in there to fester away and try to find different sneaky ways of expressing itself. So she's got like a whole big self-judgment, self-punishment that, frankly, it wants to lift. It wants to move on out. And you know something? Okay, just stay there. I want all of you listening, unless you're doing something very special in your own structures, to ask yourself to feel some kind of self-judgment, any kind. Okay? I want you to feel self-judgment. I judge myself, I'm a big jerk, whatever. We've all done terrible things in our karma, but don't be picking yourself out as the only one. When we think we're the one, we kind of get into trouble, don't we? There you are. And now when you say to yourself, I'm punishing myself. Say it again. I'm punishing myself. Okay, now we're going to lift it all. And a bunch of you are doing exactly what Carol was doing. Like, I can't let that go. I can't. I'm not ready. I'm not good enough. I'm not, whatever the reasons are. I want you to take a look at that. I can't let that go. And we might not be able to do this on global radio in a few minutes, but I want you to pay attention to that. That's it, right there. Right there. And I want to say this for a number of you, not just Carol. It's heartbreaking, isn't it? It's heartbreaking. I don't dare let it go because I haven't punished myself enough. So these are layers and layers of your subconscious, your old karmic consciousness, and so on. These aren't truth. Well, they're truths in so much as they're functioning in your world today, but they aren't edicts from God telling you how you have to be. Remember, we've all done some pretty awful things because we've toured life. We've toured many, many, many aspects of life. And we've heard over and over and over again that this is the time for us to step out of the edicts of karma. And I'm saying to you, Carol, and the guides are saying to you, and to other people, because I see there's a number of you facing a similar thing, tell your angels and guides, remember, when in doubt, lift your mind higher. Talk to the Christing process. Talk to the Buddha, whoever it is that you want to talk to. Good. That's right. That's it. And get some help, because they can lift it for you. Yeah. So, Carol, you're lying there. I'm saying, tell them to take it, please. It's not up to me. And remember, you all have divinity in you. An aspect of your nature is divine. Speak to your own inner God. Speak to your own divine. That's right. I want to release myself from karma. Okay, wrap that in light and move it over to the side. We'll bring in one more person. You know what's really interesting to me is an awful lot of people I know have terrible problems with their hips. So I'm seeing a man who's got a hip problem, and they're really, really intensely painful. And call in our fresh team. The team replicates themselves. And we're asking for, let me see here. We're asking for their team and their team and their team. So you've got this incredible infinite series of rings of people. And bring our fellow onto the table who's really uncomfortable. Yeah. Now, if you look at your hips, if you take a look at the body's mapping and you look at the hips close around consciousness, don't they? Subconscious, karma, everything left over. We've already said that, haven't we? So when I look at his hips, I go, this man is actually writhing inside. And he's very, very sensitive, and he's trying to move forward and make a living. But inside his subconscious, he's got some tremendous, tremendous backlog of, I want to call it weakness. He's not intrinsically weak, right? But he's got tremendous backlog of self. It's not just condemnation. It's like, I'm really nothing. I'm really not enough of a person. I'm really sensitive. And I'm just not enough, and I can't. There's a whole bunch of really deep things in there. And there are the bones around his subconscious, and they're coming, they're, wherever the bones are connected, especially on the upper part of the pelvis, they're hurting and they're burning. There you go. I suspect he even had shingles. Yeah. Okay, here we go. And so we're trying to calm that, and the healing teams are calming that for him. But they're very carefully, some of them have got their hands on his head and his brain. And they're saying it's really interesting because his hips, his pelvic area, and his brain need to be soothed. They're trying to contain a rather deep stew. And if you look at it this way, you'd say this person is potentially a very sensitive, artistic healer kind of guy, and he's got a really interesting perspective on how life could be. But how he lives is someone who can't really function that well, doesn't make enough money, is very fragile, and comes undone a lot. I'm like, well, that's not who he is. So you can say that the hips are trying to contain him so he can stay in this rather dubious identity, but his deeper soul is going, his soul journey is saying, that's not who we are. We're not going to live like that. So it's like pushing up and shoving away at the way he has constructed his inner self and his bones and stuff. I find it really interesting. So the team, our healing team, is moving his energy, right? They're starting right at the heart, right at the heart chakra. And they're also pulling a lot of interesting old beliefs out of the belly. And how can they pull beliefs out? Because they're just energy streams, aren't they? Light and, what is it they say? Light and information for all these frequencies. Good. Now, when we pull this energy and when the team is pulling this energy, this fellow gets a lot of jaw problems, which is kind of, like how he can't really express what's going on with himself, you see, but his jaw got really tight. So I'm asking any of you who are experiencing any of these things empathetically, just flap your jaw a little, give it a break. All it's saying is I got a lot of energy that's trying to move up through and come out, but it's stuck in my jaw. Good, now so move that. That's it. And so we can't spend too much more time with this fellow. But I think it's really important for us to pay attention to the number of people at this time in history who are having hip replacements or have terrible hip problems. It's huge. And on the optimistic side, I go, really, is this a sign of us breaking out of the edicts of our subconscious and being able to reformat some of the underpinning thoughts and feelings and beliefs that we've all carried around? I trust that, don't you? So wrap this in light and move that to the side. And now we're going to do a political thing. Oh, woohoo! What kind of political thing should we do, Bob? We'll put Syria? Okay. So we're going to bring the table in. And we're going to bring in all the people that have to do with power in Syria. Yeah. I think there's a lot of adjuncts, too. There's a lot of associated people in different parts of the world as well. I'm also very interested in the Ukraine situation in Russia. And maybe what we want to say is the density of power-based either greed or domination energies around the world. How about we do that one? That's about as general as can be. But if we could raise the fields and frequency of the human collective consciousness, we could deal with that, couldn't we? All right, so let's bring in key figures around the world, whether they're Syria or Iran or America or South America or Africa or any places that you can think of, Japan. Yeah. And then we're going to bring in some of that amazing light that's way out there in some of the great galactic intersection energy flows. That's the light of the consciousness of Creator Spirit. Okay, you just feel it buzzing. Have that light come in through the top of your head, swoop down through your body so that you're all light-filled. Move back up, down your shoulders, out your arms and your hands. And I want you to pat as many of the people that you see that are in leadership roles on our absolutely magical, oh my gosh, how expanded it can be table. Good. There you go. That's it. That's wonderful. And we're just going to infuse as many of them as possible with this harmonizing creator consciousness, love, light. It's a fun exercise to do anyway. Just keep sending and bopping people with the light of love. Mm-hmm. That's right. And let's, a little bit more. There's a couple more people straining at the leash. Good. And now let's wrap that in light and send it over to the side there. And thank you to the guides and angels and the team. Okay, so now let's do it again. And it's just you and I and calling in that higher light. And once again, having it run through the tops of our heads and down through our necks into our hearts, swirling around, coming up into our shoulders and out our arms and hands, and absolutely patting this amazing energy all over our planet. We've got to go to Fukushima. We've got to go down to the Gulf, where the Gulf spill was, where we've got West Virginia. There's a lot going on the planet. Anywhere you know there's sickness, anywhere you know there's poverty, anywhere you know there's greed and domination, yeah. All around the planet, all around the planet, over and over again. And we've got these ET beings and ET friends that are looking, and have them see that you and I are participating in helping to flood harmony and evolution to our species here. I love that. You can just see it in the world as it's pulsing with this wonderful kind of salmony, apricot-y gold light. Yay! And have it go around and around the world, back into your hands, up your arms. Good. Round, circle around your heart. Now shoot up through the top of your head, out into the great central sun, back down through the top of your head, and shoot through your body and into the core of the earth. And now I want you to close off the Galactic Healing Center. Thank it for being there. It's an absolute resonant chamber of possibility. Good. And now jump into your star tetrahedron and spin and spin and spin and spin. My goodness. Spin and spin. And now come on into the room with me. Are you going to call in today? Let me see if anybody has emailed as well, because that is a possibility. Okay, nobody. All right. You're going to call in, and the numbers are 888-627-6008. 888-627-6008. 6008. I don't remember what I talked about last week, because it was such a disrupted show, but I'm absolutely fascinated by when I was talking to Dr. Ruth Miller, and we were talking about the development of, for example, the reason we were talking is because she was bringing forward some ancient affirmations books or some metaphysical teaching tools and so on. She was rewriting them because they were all originally written in the language of King George Bible and Shakespeare, as she said. So it's much easier to read Florence Scovel Shinn with all her affirmations when it's more of a current kind of lingo. But one of the things that fascinated me was that in her interview, we were talking a lot about how a lot of these women like Mary Baker Eddy had started Christian Science, and they were people that went through some women who went through big traumas in the early 1800s and then the middle 1800s. Emma Hopkins and Mary Baker Eddy were at a suffragette meeting, which is where they both got inspired to go off and take homeopathic lessons so that they could have a way to make a living in the world that really helped people and so on. And all of this was just bubbling away in the consciousness of the 1800s. And then I went to see 12 Years a Slave. How many of you have seen that? I was absolutely mesmerized because it was around 1840 it started, and it was supposed to be a true story about a guy who was kind of a noble black guy up in the north with a nice family and all. And he got kidnapped and was put in to slavery for 12 years down in the South. And it was really like, whoa, it was really a startling kind of, it brought me into an awareness. And because of that, you know, it's like the awareness of it wasn't that long ago that we were treating a lot of people like that. In some ways we still do. It's just that it's not quite as blatant. And then on NPR, they've been talking a lot about slavery from different perspectives. Some of it is stories about young girls who are from very high Charleston families that were given slaves for 12th and 13th birthdays and so on, that ultimately became abolitionists, which meant that they had to break out of their homes and families and turn away from their parents, much to their parents' chagrin, really. They turned away from all of those that kind of refined, or their refinement that was defined by slave ownership. It's a lot of really interesting things like that that all happened in the 1800s. And I hadn't been as cognizant, or I hadn't been as aware, that the women that emerged in those days were also very, very involved. They were involved in abolitionism, getting rid of the slaves, and really standing up and speaking, though it hadn't been women's right to speak at all. And they were also, they were abolitionists, they were also suffragettes. And a lot of them got involved with and really started to propel the New Age movement or the metaphysical movement. And I went, oh, isn't that interesting? It has a lot to do with those veins of consciousness that come through our speech. Oh, goody, I'm glad. I'll just finish this thought and then I'll take the call. But those veins of consciousness that come up through our species and really illuminate like larger and larger groups of people. And I have more to say on that. But anyway, I've been kind of mesmerized by this whole subject lately. So let's not be enslaved. Let's learn to wake up to our own personal power and be multidimensional. And you're on the air. Thank you for listening.
Yeah, hi. Good evening, Veronica. It's Kim from Louisiana.
Hi, it's been a while since we've chatted, Kim from Louisiana.
Yeah, it has been, actually. I was listening this evening, and I, too, have been listening to Michael Klingerman on my iPod, that interview.
I think it's got a really good resonance, doesn't it?
It does, and one of the things that I'm really struck by for me was kind of the almost the kind of like predestination kind of thing, where he says, you know, it's like these stills that happen, these moments of stillness that happen that stack upon each other, and that we think cause and effect and sequential time is real, but really it's not. It's just like, it's kind of happening. I don't know. I don't know how else to explain it any better than that, Veronica. But
and I don't know how to take that either. Do you? I don't know how to put that in the mundanity of my life. That life is just happening. when we're learning so much about intention.
Yeah, so I was listening to Jo Dunning tonight, and she did this free activation thing of the pineal gland, and she was really more forthcoming than she. I mean, she said this before, but basically she said, "Look, you know, the next evolution of humans, we're going to do this in our lifetime. We're going to bilocate. We're going to levitate. We're going to walk through walls. We're going to manifest instantly." Material things and, you know, out of our hands. Basically, she said that. I mean, she might not have gone quite that far, but she did say
Well, it's sort of like what Sai Baba did, right, with putting the opening his hands and manifesting jewels and stuff. Is that what she's saying?
Yeah. Exactly. And that this is an innate ability, and we're just kind of waking up to it. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah, and Peter Calhoun had a lot to say on that, which I really loved as well. Just said we're enslaved. I mean, back to the slave thing. We're enslaved, and we need to wake up to the fact that we are very empowerable.
I think Andrew Bartis, who I kind of discovered, Galactic Historian on Blog Talk, and the whole idea that human beings are creator beings, that humans are creator beings, and that we're just kind of waking up to that fact. I think that's really, really, really interesting and really, really powerful for me.
Well, when we really go back to what Michael Klingerman says, that Bhagavan says, which is life is just one series of happenings, one after the other, part of me goes, well, we are, I believe we're very, very creative. But I believe we're dulled and blunted by a lot of programming and a lot of leftover stuff. Don't you? I mean, I don't know how you feel about that. But
yeah.
I always return to Peter Calhoun, who I just thought was so wonderful. And he said that there's about 500 million of us here who have come from many, many galaxies, and we're systems busters. And we've come in knowing that we can break out, but it's taken a lot of, you know, it's like having your memory taken away, and it's been taking a long time for us to not only do anything ourselves, but to connect with one another to keep refueling that potential. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think it does.
Did you ever hear him? He's wonderful.
No, was he on Paradigm Shifters?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know that I've heard it. I've got to go back through and I'll check and try to make sure.
I love his because he just made it seem so viable that we could break free, you know, just break free and really start to manifest. He was talking about spontaneous combustions of fire and all kinds of things, you know, that and spontaneous healings and stuff that he had to wake up to, just shocking. Speaking with animals and so on. He says it's just, we just are scraping the edges of what we can do. So I'll agree with Jo Dunning. You know, I just can't manifest off my palm yet.
There is a YouTube, like a little documentary. It's not little. It's actually about an hour and 33 minutes of Bhagavan, and it's the only documentary that I was able to find on YouTube on him. And it's kind of old, but he does say there are, you know, people that he knows that can manifest bills in their hand, but he said there aren't that many humans that he knows that have that particular relationship with their divine.
Well, we certainly are brains. Go ahead.
Well, later he goes on to say that there will be poor people who are enlightened, but the wealthy man who is enlightened will not stay wealthy, extremely wealthy for long, because then his awakening will enable him to be generous enough to spread the wealth a little bit. So,
yeah, I believe that so much, don't you?
Yeah, I really do. So, Veronica, what about, do you know anything about the Hollow Earth Network? Do you know anything about this whole, you know, the reevaluation and the prosperity funds and all this, and it's going to happen any day now? And
no.
I'm just like, okay, you don't.
No, but you could tell me. I don't know anything about it, actually.
Well, these women who are channeling these beings, and it's largely women, okay? It's largely women. But I believe that there could be a race of beings that live in the Earth, and they're kind of connected to these beings, but they're also channeling these other beings who claim to be Creator God and Creator Mother God and Creator God that created Earth. And then Saint Germain's in there somewhere too, and they've all got this thing. There's going to be a reeval of the dinar, a reeval of the dong, or whatever. And all these light workers are going to make millions of dollars and give it around the world. And I'm like, oh, I feel so bad for them, sort of, because I kind of know, like, in my reality, in my timeline, it's not going to happen. And the only thing I can think of is, and myself, I'm thinking, okay, these are really good women, and they're doing a really good job, and they're doing these, having these spontaneous healings, and they're doing this, all this good stuff. And then it's like, and then they channel these beings that are like, oh, yeah, the reveal is going to happen tomorrow morning at 8, and, you know, kind of crazy.
Yeah, but, you know, do you remember, who was that person, excuse me for interrupting, who was that person in Australia who predicted something huge? You remember it was, and none of it happened, and she was, everybody was sort of lined up waiting. I can't even remember what it was now. It was a couple of years ago, and there was some big trauma that was supposed to happen, and people were going to die. I don't remember all of it, but none of it happened, and she was mortified because she had a huge following. I don't believe in predictions like that, actually. And I think if I were to be an intellectual, which sometimes I can be, I would say that on the intuitive level, and I'm a pretty good channel myself, actually, on the intuitive level, it's really hard to get the rapport between time and the physical manifestations of things. I really see that over and over.
I mean, the only bottom line I can come up with is that these beings, okay, these beings that are being channeled in and are doing all this and getting these followers to, you know, invest in all this stuff, they believe on some level, somehow, this is my bottom line, I can't figure out anything else that makes sense to me, is that if enough human beings actually believe in this, that it will indeed create one timeline, not the timeline we're going into, because I do not believe it's ever going to happen, but
you're the one who's keeping that from happening, aren't you? You're in trouble now, Kim.
Yeah, I'm the only one.
You're the only one, honey.
I feel so guilty now. No, I actually talked to another intuitive about this, and somehow, you know, listened to him blog talk, and she put me on the air, and I was just listening on the phone because it was more convenient. And I said to her, I said, okay, so what do you think about this? And she said, well, I tell you, I have no idea either, but I said, you know, I am an intuitive, and this is what I do for a living and stuff, and it's never going to happen. And then she said, but the reason it's never going to happen is it's really about this internal. They have to learn to internally trust their own guidance system instead of go outside of themselves. Like, see, because all they do is channel these beings. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, they're channeling Mother God, Father God, Saint Germain, Adamo, or Jesus, or Sananda, or whoever. They're doing all this channeling. And I do kind of agree with her a little bit that might be what it's all about for them, that, you know, this particular group of people.
It makes sense to me. It's hard. You don't like to put down groups of people, but I do think that, there's little tricks that I use to find out whether I'm using my mind's preference, if that's what's coming through. Because channels we have to be able to admit when we're influencing the channeling, because we do. I mean, you do. You can't help it, right?
Yeah.
Because your brain, it runs through your brain. You know, that's a pretty little busy thing, isn't it?
Yep.
So, and I love the idea we can create all that, but I just don't believe in it. So, I believe it's a possibility. I don't believe the channeling. How's that?
Well, yeah. I mean, I don't believe that there's prosperity funds, and I don't believe that dinar is going to be reevaluated tomorrow morning, so that there's millions of light worker millionaires out there. I don't believe that.
I have a number of...
Maybe in one timeline.
But, yeah, I mean, concurrent realities and that sort of thing.
Kind of that's what I believe. Kind of that's the only thing that makes sense to me on some intuitive level. Like, it's like, okay, so these are really good women and they're doing these healings and I believe it's genuine, the healings are genuine and the, you know, and the energy work is genuine and all this prayer stuff is a good thing and they're devoting their lives and I do not, yeah, I believe all that. And then it's like, but then I'm thinking, well, why do these guys that they're channeling, and it does seem, I mean, Mother God seems to be kind of maybe a minority, mostly the beings that they're channeling are male, kind of on the male side anyway, and male energy anyway. And I'm thinking, well, what are they doing? And the only thing that comes to make sense to me is human beings are creator beings, and they're hoping that at least in one timeline they can manifest this reality somehow. That, I mean, that's the only thing that I can think of. That's the only thing that makes sense to me. So I don't
I think I like that for you. I mean, that's a really good way of doing it. The other thing I want to say is that there are people following it that somewhere deep down in their guts are feeling trepidation. So I'm like, okay, so deep down, if we don't really believe what we say we believe, that's a problem too. So I think we could be very intricate in all the ways it could mean this or that, but I think, well, bless their hearts, they're trying really hard to make a difference, and maybe they are, you know?
Yeah, I agree with you, Veronica, totally agree with you. Hey, do you know John Hogue's work? Have you thought about him as a paradigm shifter?
No, but I'd love to. What's his name?
John Hogue, H-O-G-U-E. He's the Nostradamus guy.
Oh.
And really beautiful. Usually he's like hellfire, you know, like Nostradamus, like World War III, right? So then he said somebody got him on today listening to something, an archive, but past month or so, and got him on today and said, okay, so this guy's the Antichrist, this guy's the, and it's like, no, no, no. And he said, okay, now go into the mirror, go look in the mirror. Okay, now, you're not the Antichrist. But it's your unwillingness to wake up and to be aware of how the inner and outer reflect each other. I mean, I was just, like, blown away. I was like, that's a different John Hogue. I marched into a different universe.
Well, you know what's wonderful about that? And then I'll have to go, what's wonderful about that story is I love healers or portents or channels or whatever who are obviously changing and growing, because I think anything else is not okay. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I absolutely agree with you with John Hogan. Like I said, that's to me, it was like amazing. Like, that's why I thought of him for your show. So,
thank
hey,
you,
Monica.
Honey. Well, you feel like sending me an email. Love you too. It's nice to hear from you, and you've been a very rich contributor tonight. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Blessings. Hey, you guys, you know who my next paradigm shifters are? Galexis, talking about channels. I talked to Ginger Matro, who's the channel, and I said, do you think that we could get Galexis on to talk about Fukushima? So she just wrote, Galexis will discuss the challenges of bringing in the new world when it's become so toxic with Fukushima, GMOs, pesticides, and more. What can you do to heal your planet as well as yourself? That's a very, very exciting show for me and for you. How are we going to clear? And talking about imagination, can we move into the new earth? What is it going to take? How many of us need to do some more heavy lifting? Because I really think it is about raising the fields and frequency so much so that we've done liftoff, but you already know that. So tune in Tuesday night at 8 o'clock and listen to Galexis through Ginger Matro. They've been on the show so many times, and I know a lot of you really love them. And now, of course, we podcast, so that'll be up on Wednesday, and it'll be in Stitchers, iTunes, or my website, veronicaentwistle.com. So I'm excited. You're excited. Let me see. I think I wasn't quite finished my whole thing on enslavement. Oh, I know what. One more thing about the slavery, as I found another comment being made by Cokie Roberts. She's just written a children's book. And the children's book, Cokie Roberts is an NPR reporter. And her children's book is called The Founding Mothers, because, as she said, something we didn't know, Martha Washington and the people that were married to the founding fathers when the Revolutionary War was going on, the women all went to battle, too. They didn't fight. They went and fixed they watered the cannons. I don't know what that means. But in any case, they were right there side by side with their men doing the work. And that was before that. I think it's been really interesting for me to hear this whole theme of waking up, women waking up, a society waking up and beginning to revere and respect more and more all people. We're trying to wake up now and respect how amazingly powerful we are. But just take a look at some of these streams of energy and how people have been working to wake up. Even James Allen, as a man thinketh, they talked about how he had a holistic newsletter in the late 1800s that was sent all over the world. So there you have it. He didn't even have email. We are waking up, and it's picking up speed in our collective. You're responsible for it, and so am I. Okay, Kim just got her knuckles wrapped because she wasn't believing something, but believe in it. We can unfold, expand. Thank you so much for listening to Radiance by Design. I love talking to you, and I'm watching your light flicker and bright, getting bright again as we all grow and share and feel the love. Please check my website, veronicaantwistle.com. I've been putting up some new videos, and also press the Ask Veronica button. Give me some feedback on shows, or if you'd like to have a session with me and my guides and angels. Love to hear from you. Once again, thank you for listening. Good night and much love.